What is up, Goal Line listeners? We are back and better than ever with our first ever off-season episode. We kind of just timed this up perfectly. We had planned for our off-season episodes to have a lot of other sports sprinkled in, but me and Jordan have both been swamped the past month. So it just so worked out that, you know, the first day it kind of lined up for us to get back to recording was the day of NFL free agency. So we got an absolute cornucopia of news to dive into, you guys. But first, I'm going to introduce my main man, Jordan. What's going on?
Yeah, man, it's been a whirlwind of the last month for both of us. We both have had a couple trips in there, and yeah, it's just been a lot of life the last month, and not a lot of time to do podcasting. So, we're ready to get back into this again and get back into the flow of it. So, excuse us if we're a little rusty today.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's going to be fun. We got the schedule hammered out all the way up until week one of next season. Every 2 weeks, we'll be coming back to you guys doing just catching up on, you know, the latest in the sports world, obviously leaning heavily towards the NFL. But we'll be touching on a little bit of everything. And then we're going to be doing a deep dive on 2 to 3 teams a week with, you know, what they look like last season and the outlook for next year. This week, we'll be doing the Patriots and the Panthers. So stick around for that after we get through the news. But we got a ton of stuff to get into, so I really don't want to belabor this intro. Jordan, you ready to start talking some football?
Let's do it. All right. I figure we'll start with the quarterback, since that's the most important position in football, as I've learned over the past 2 seasons. We'll start with what happened yesterday. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks agreed on a 3-year, $100 million extension with $50 million guaranteed. I think this kind of had to happen for them. I mean, what other move were they going to make as far as a quarterback was concerned?
Yeah, this is kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think Baker kind of messed up the Bucs franchise trajectory in a good way a little bit last year. I think if you gave truth serum to the big decision makers there, I don't think any of them felt like they were going to be contending, you know, and they still don't really feel like a Super Bowl threat. But end of the day, they were one of the final 8 teams playing football this past year. And, you know, the NFC South, we'll get to some big additions here in a little bit, but it doesn't look that much more difficult. So there's no reason not to just run it back. You know, it's a 3-year deal. Low risk, because it doesn't seem like the Bucks have got a ton invested in this team anyway, so why not bring Baker back, you know? And good for Baker, man. Glad to see him finally get at least a little bit of short-term stability.
Yeah. This one didn't surprise me. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit surprised that they brought Mike Evans back. Not because I don't think Mike Evans is good. That's not what I'm saying at all. I don't know, man. It just seems like a weird move for him. Honestly, for him to want to go back after the comments he made after the season was over, wanted to play for a Super Bowl contender. The Bucs are not winning Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. Like, I feel like last season was about as high as you can get with Baker Mayfield. I mean,
they overachieved big time.
Yeah, like, that has to be the ceiling, right? I mean, I don't know how you can do any more than what they did last year, honestly. So,
yeah, it's hard for me to envision any scenario outside of them winning a weak division and, you know, maybe squeak out a home, that home playoff win wild card weekend. You really can't see them going past the second round of the playoffs. But, you know, money talks, man. And he also, dude, Mike Evans he's been in Tampa a long time, man. He's probably got some roots, you know. Moving sucks, dude. I can speak to that, man. The older you get, the harder it is to move. So there's something to be said for stability. I agree. You know, he was talking a lot of shit. You almost would have liked to see him go to maybe, you know, Texans, somewhere like that, to try to put a team over the top to really contend. But, you know, I can't fault the guy for choosing comfort.
No, not at all. Like I said, it's more surprising on the front for him more than it is the team. Like, I don't know, man. It just seemed like a weird thing, especially after they were throwing around Kansas City, Houston, like you said. It just felt weird. But anyway, we're not here to discuss that. The next one happened last night as well. Russell Wilson signs a 1-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know how to feel about this, man. On the surface, Russell Wilson was much improved last season, right? Like, the Broncos were just a totally average team. I think Russell Wilson, you know, kind of played slightly above average. The numbers looked really good, but I'm a big Pro Football Focus guy, and all the hardcore film junkies say that Russell Wilson was extremely limiting that team, what they were doing last year. I think he was really just, avoiding the interceptions to try to prop up that stat line. And it seemed like the lack of aggressiveness really held the Broncos offense back. And that's where a lot of the frustration with Sean Payton came from. You know, the Broncos had to swallow that huge, huge hit in dead money just to get rid of him. So it had to be pretty bad if they were willing to move on from that, despite how well things looked on the surface last season. That being said, Pittsburgh's had a really, solid, gritty team the last couple of years and just has gotten minimal explosiveness, minimal production from the QB position. So it could be a good fit for 1 year, man. Kind of similar to Tampa Bay. What's the better option for Pittsburgh next year?
Yeah. They said they're bringing him in as competition. I just do not see a scenario where Kenny Pickett is a starter ever again.
He's going to beat him out. Yeah. Kenny Pickett, I think he's going to be a fine career backup. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what he showed. He's functional in the NFL, but he's got some serious limitations physically that's going to hold you back.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like Mike Tomlin is the right coach for Russell Wilson, honestly. Pete Carroll always got the most out of Russell Wilson. I feel like that Denver scenario was doomed from the start. Nathaniel Hackett, and then it got weird quick. Yeah, and it was no secret that Sean Payton didn't want Russell Wilson as his quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
And still to this day, whatever Sean Payton says, I'd take no. I literally could care less what Sean Payton says.
I don't hold it against Russell Wilson that Sean Payton, he was a down check in Sean Payton's book. I definitely don't hold that against him, man.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Payton could literally tell me the earth was burning, and I there's nothing about it that I would believe. He's just a piece of shit human. So I don't really care about that. One thing I do want to hit on, since we just talked about Kenny Pickett. Man, these last 3 years of quarterback classes are looking really fucking bad outside of CJ Stroud. Holy shit, dude. Like that one.
It's rough, man.
That one with Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. Jury's still out on Trevor Lawrence, too. I mean,
we looked rough. Last year was definitely a step back. It was a big hit for all the Trevor Lawrence truthers out there, for sure.
Yeah, it's obviously Kenny Pickett, we just talked about. Obviously Bryce Young, too. It's like,
but hey, there is the golden child lifting all, the rising tide to lift all their other boats, Brock Purdy out in San Francisco.
Yeah, but I'm more speaking on like the first round picks than anything. Yeah. I'm not talking
the teams that have gone all in. I mean, dude, if you go back it up one more year, look at Trey Lance, dude.
He's like the same draft class as Justin.
Oh yeah, he was 2021, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah. So he's got to be thrown in there also, dude. Like I said, that's really a testament to how well the 49ers have ran their franchise. That was really a blip on the map. Any other team, that's probably sitting them back years. The amount of draft capital they invested to go up and get Trey Lance and got absolutely nothing for him.
Yeah, that's a franchise crippling move for anyone else. Okay, last quarterback news, and by far the most important for me at least. Kirk Cousins signs a 4-year contract with the Atlanta Falcons for $180 million. Okay,
hold on. How you feeling, man?
My first reaction to this was, holy fuck, 4 years, $180 million. When the contract details came out, it's more like a 2-year, $100 million deal, which to me, for a way above average starting quarterback at this point. I mean, dude, there's no arguing. Last year, Cousins was playing as a top 10 quarterback, arguably top 5 until he went down.
Yeah, I don't think it's arguable. I think it's like top 5, arguable top 3. I mean, he had the best numbers. Strictly on the numbers, he was the best quarterback when he went down last year. And that was without Justin Jefferson for the majority of the season.
Yeah, I really feel like this is going to do a lot for Drake London, Bijan, and Kyle Pitts. I like it, honestly. 4 years made me a tad nervous because I'm like, dude, that's pushing 40 at that point. But for the way they structured the contract, there's no guarantees in the fourth year. It's like $10 million in the third year. So if they decide to cut him, I think they're out like $10 million for the third year. That's really...
Yeah. I wouldn't sweat the money too much either. I mean, dude, look at what the Broncos just did with Russell Wilson. Yeah. I mean, they eaten, the biggest cap hit in, league history, and it seems like they're still functional. You know what I mean? The sky's not falling in Denver. So for the most, the contract stuff's kind of funny money. It definitely sounds like a gigantic number, and it is, but that's really the cost of doing business in the NFL nowadays for, any type of decent starting quarterback. I mean, dude, Ryan Tannehill got $30 million last year. for the Titans. And he never put up anything to, you know, close to what Kirk Cousins has done over the past 4 or 5 years. It's just, you know, $30 million a year is kind of like your entry point for a decent starting quarterback. So they had to pay it if they wanted to get Kirk. And obviously they were going to have to outbid whatever Minnesota was offering, right? You know, yeah. Minnesota's definitely got the hometown discount. So I don't hate it for the Falcons. It's not a slam dunk. I'd say it's like a, you know, it's an open court layup. I think this makes them a fringe contender to come out of the NFC. You know, if the rest of the roster is what we think it is, man, I think that's where it puts them. What about you, man? As you got the most skin in the game on this, kind of what is your best case scenario with the Falcons? Can you see Kirk Cousins taking the Falcons to a Super Bowl?
No, not the Super Bowl, but here's what I will say though. Last 2 years, I watched a Falcons team that won 7 games both years that were literally decent quarterback play away from winning 11 games. I mean, and that was with a head coach that felt like he was holding them back. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like Cousins can get them a division win, obviously. Maybe get him around, but I mean, unless everything just falls right into place, like, I think the 49ers.
I think they could make it, man.
I think the 49ers would have to have a pretty big injury for that to happen. I mean, you're talking like the quarterback going down or something. But I will say this. The defense started out so good last year for the Falcons, and I felt like that was when the offense was kind of – they were moving the ball. They weren't playing great by any means necessary. But I don't know, man. I feel like Cousins can spread the ball around enough, and the offense can score anywhere from – I don't know, 21 to 28 points a game. Like, I feel like their defense is good enough to keep them in those games and have the rare, like, shootout game. Like, I feel like the way the roster is constructed, they are constructed well enough with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback to win. I mean, dude, 10 to 13 wins is not completely out of the question, honestly.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I think you're selling them a little bit short, man. The NFC South is still – last year it was dog shit. I think this year it's just going to be ass. All right. But it's still going to be really weak. So, dude, you could beat up on that division, right? Go 6-0 in the division. You're going to be playing a third place schedule. NFC outside of the 49ers, there's not any really scary teams in the NFC. Dude, I think they could sneak in. Now, do I think they will be the best team in the NFC? No, but they could totally still get the number one seed, man. And then you're 2 home games away from playing in the Super Bowl. It could happen one of these next 2 years, man. Now, I'm not saying I'm not rushing out to put that ticket in at you know, on DraftKings or anything, but I do think they're on the list, man. They're probably closer to the bottom of the list than the top, but I think they're on the list of teams that could make it out of the NFC in the next 2 seasons.
And I did say this to somebody today because everybody's like, oh man, Kirk Cousins always folds in the big game. Well, the good news for the Falcons is they don't ever get primetime games anyway, so Kirk's going to be playing in the afternoon every game. So I don't have to worry about primetime Cousins blowing it. And I will say this. I was probably a little too hard on him the last 2 seasons because, I mean, a lot of the stuff that happened wasn't necessarily on him. Like, I know the quarterback's always going to get the majority of the blame.
Right.
And I know this is going to feel like disingenuous because now he's the Falcons quarterback. But, I mean, dude, the Vikings had a lot of shit go wrong in the last 2 years. Like, they also had a lot of shit go right 2 years ago when they won 13 games. So,
It seemed like they were always in crazy-ass games, right? A lot of those games that, you know, that 2022 season where they were just – incredible in the one score games. It seemed like it was the Vikings were always like the red zone team. Like when it cut to a Vikings game, you never know what kind of crazy shit you were about to see, you know? So I feel you on that, man. They seems like they had a lot of fluky stuff that made games, you know, ended up being a lot closer than they probably should have been. Kirk's played good, man. Dude, you said, you know, he chokes in the big games, but hey, dude, at least he's getting to the big games. The Falcons haven't been getting to the big games, period, man. I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, dude, but I think if I'm the fan of a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 6 seasons, just give me a taste of playoff football, man. Give me a taste of January football with some stakes and, you know, let me get that little bit of rush and I'm going to call that a win, you know, and then maybe I'll raise my expectations from there. But, you know, I think the Falcons had to do it again. 6 years, man, since they've made the playoffs, dude. 6 freaking years. So the people criticizing it, like, yeah, it's not a perfect situation. 35-year-old guy coming off a torn Achilles. But it's what else were they going to do? Run it back with, you know, whatever crap's out of the draft or, you know, trade for Justin Fields, whose trade market has suddenly gone ice cold when we thought, you know, he was potential, you know, second, third round draft pick. Yeah, dude, I got no issue with the Falcons doing this.
Yeah, I'm excited for it for the most, more than anything. Dude, the last 3 years they've drafted an offensive guy and not one of them has been used properly yet. Maybe some of that was on coaching, but dude, a lot of that was because they had Mariota and Ritter back there that didn't have enough faith in their arm to throw the ball 10 yards. I mean, Kirk Cousins is not that dude. Like, he's going to sling the ball out there. I mean, this is going to be a West Coast offense team. It's a Sean McVay coaching tree, offensive coordinator now. So I don't know, man. I'm cautiously optimistically excited, if that makes sense. It's just, they needed someone. And I'm with you, man. When they started talking about trading for Justin Fields, I was like, this is not it, man. This is just, and honestly, I'm going to give the Falcons credit because the fans were banging the Justin Fields drum and they stuck with it. I mean, Terry Fontenot in 2021 said they were not high on Justin Fields. And 3 years later, they're still not high on Justin Fields. And I think a lot more people are starting to see why people were not high on Justin Fields and why I kept saying, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand what everyone else is seeing. Makes highlight plays, but he cannot read a defense. Like, there's no hiding it at this point. The dude cannot read a defense. For the Bears, man, I mean, at this point, I know this is kind of going off the rails here a little bit, but dude, if they don't end up picking a quarterback at one and they run it back with Fields and he's garbage again next year, like, I just...
There will be blood in the streets, man.
Like, what message are you sending? But, like, Bears fans want him back, and every time I question him, I'm like, what do you guys see in this dude?
I could see it, dude. Guy plays hard. He makes explosive plays. I could see it being a fan favorite, and he's gotten so much shit from the national media that I feel like locally maybe feel like you got to rally around your guy. But I just, I'm kind of with you, man. I think for all the really cool, you know, the real cool explosive stuff he brings to the table, there's a lot of other just easy basic plays that he's missing and is just really kind of putting your team in the hole. It's like, you know, you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back. You know, the untied hand might be pretty badass, dude, but you're still fighting with one hand tied behind your back going in with a guy like that at quarterback.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're not going to talk about them all night, but I just don't know what they do from here.
Hey, another point in favor of the Falcons doing this, man. You got to remember, Raheem Morris was in the building, defensive coordinator for the Rams. Very similar scenario 2021 when they traded for Matt Stafford from the Lions and immediately elevated that team and took them to the Super Bowl.
Very true. Okay, let's talk about the other big news of the morning that I called the last time we recorded one of these podcasts. T. Higgins has requested a trade from the Bengals. Seth tried telling me I was crazy when I said it. Dude, once they didn't get a deal done before the season was over, I told everybody, this dude's gone, man. There's no way they're going to try to pay this dude number one money. You were talking about taking a hometown discount. I'm like, this dude ain't taking no hometown discount, dude. Look, I mean, seriously, look at what Michael Pittman just got paid today, and then it comes out that T. Higgins wants a trade. I'd want to trade, too, if somebody's not offering me $25 million a year. Like,
Yeah, the Bengals have bangled once again and fumbled this one away. You know, I feel like Ja'Marr Chase gets all the pub, dude, but T. Higgins is such an important part of that offense. And you just felt like they were going to find a way to make this work out. You know, I shouldn't have, in spite of almost 30 years of watching this franchise just, you know, continually make the wrong decision. I think they should have found a way to keep the guy, dude. Like, load up on offense, man. You can always draft defense. You can find effort players on defense, kind of make it up. I feel like their offense, when everything's clicking, has the potential to be the best in the league. And this is going to be a big blow, man. Yeah. Big, big blow losing T. Higgins. So we'll see where he ends up at, man. You know, I say that. It seems like it hasn't – you know, the Chiefs obviously got by trading a star wide receiver. It seems like teams have been in a rush to trade, you know, wide receiver number ones the last couple of years. But I still just, you know, you love seeing the Bengals when they had all their weapons on the field. It was really, really fun team to watch.
Yeah, this will definitely be a hit for them. I mean, they're going to take a hit from this. Dude, and somebody is going to offer something of high value to the Bengals. I mean, is it going to be an end of the first round pick? I mean, dude, if you're the Chiefs, why the hell would you not throw that offer out there? Like, T. Higgins on the Chiefs would be a monster. I don't know, man. Somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you got to trade him and you got to sign him. So that's the other thing. But yeah, I think he's totally, I think kind of early second round, late first round pick, I would totally be happy with, you know, my team making that trade to get T. Higgins in the building.
Yeah. One thing before we go any further, because I kind of forgot about it, because it seems like it was 8 years ago. Dude, what are your thoughts on the Bills basically just releasing their entire defense last week?
Crazy, man. I don't know what the Bills are doing. I know you, we kind of talked off air. You think they're reloading, reconfiguring for another run. To me, it feels like they're almost taking a step back, taking a pause from the cause for a year or two, and then going to reinvest and reattack. They had definitely gone all in the last couple of years, man. They were Super Bowl or bust, and they went bust. So, and typically when stuff like that happens, you start seeing things like this with heads rolling, whether it be on the roster or the coaching staff. But yeah, the Bills are definitely in a weird place going into next season.
I mean, dude, they were $60 million over the cap. Like, they 100% went all in and it failed. But I don't know. I still think they'll be all right. I mean, maybe that's just the optimist in me because I like that team and I like their fans.
I think they'll be in the mix, but I think it's going to be the same thing. I think they're just going to have another hard-fought loss in the, wild card round or divisional round of the playoffs.
And I mean, dude, if their defense isn't as good, their offense has proved in the last year, at least, that they're not going to just outscore somebody. And now they lost Gabe Davis. So I don't know, man. They're in a weird spot.
It's always rough when you're at that like Super Bowl level, because really for the last three seasons, it's felt like the Bills are, in like your top five Super Bowl favorites. And then when you don't get it done and the expectations start to lower a little bit, it just really puts you in a weird place as a franchise and a fan base.
Okay. We're just going to kind of quick hit through these ones. Christian Wilkins signing a 4-year, $110 million deal to sign with the Raiders. This dude is an absolute monster on the defensive line. I'm excited to watch him and Max Crosby play together, but holy shit, is this an overpay?
Yeah, pretty big check, man. And, the Raiders don't got the greatest history of free agent signings really working out.
Gabe Davis, as we just mentioned, 3 years, $39 million to the Jaguars. I do not understand this at all. I mean, dude.
Got to replace Calvin Ridley, man.
Yeah, but he's not. The problem is, like, dude, if you're giving somebody $13 million a year, like, maybe they offered that to Calvin Ridley and he told him to kick rocks. But, dude, I don't think Calvin Ridley's value is that high right now either. Like, he really faded down the stretch last year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some – he's probably going to sign it. I expect him to sell, like, a one-year prove-it deal somewhere.
All right, let's go into all the running backs now. Dude, talk about, like, an unprecedented day. Like, the running backs all got paid right off the bat. I'm not saying they all got paid a ton of money, but – just a wild day of running back signing. We'll start with the big one. Saquon goes to the Eagles, 3 years, $39 million. Dude, to me, this is a home run signing. I mean, you went from DeAndre Swift to Saquon. Like, dude, Saquon can carry that team running the ball. I mean, he proved it with the Giants 2 years ago. So I think that's a phenomenal signing.
Yeah, I still don't really – I feel like we still haven't gotten the full story of exactly what all went down the second half of the season in Philly. So I'm a little bit skeptical of just adding another, tier one star player into the mix and seeing how that's going to play out. But, Saquon's a great player. I don't think he's ever going to make a team worse adding Saquon Barkley to the mix.
No. Josh Jacobs to the Packers was extremely surprising to me. When they first did it, I was like – they're just going to run him and Aaron Jones into the ground. No, they're not. I thought
too.
Aaron Jones is no longer a Packer.
For about an hour there, I was like, dude, they're going to have like by far the best backfield in the NFL. And then Aaron Jones going. That seems weird to me, man. Like Josh Jacobs is, he's better than Aaron Jones, but to me, I don't think he's so much better that you go out, invest all the money it takes to sign him and then release Aaron Jones. That was kind of a weird move to me.
I mean, he is 3 years younger, but I agree with you. I don't think he's that much better. And, dude, Aaron Jones proved when he's healthy, that playoff run he had last year was incredible.
Damn near took the 49ers out, man. On the they damn near had the Niners going one and done in the playoffs.
Yeah. DeAndre Swift to the Bears. Do the Bears just like hate investing in their own running backs? Like, I don't get it, dude. They have Roschon Johnson and I can't even think of the other guy's name right now. You know who I'm talking about though. And like they just completely abandoned their young running backs and signed another one. I don't get this team, man. They're so weird.
Swift is decent, but he feels, you know, I don't know, dude. I'm clear, you know, not that it needs to be said, but clearly I'm not an actual NFL personnel man, but I feel like I could draft a running back in the fourth round that give me what DeAndre Swift is giving me, and it's way less investment, you know?
And, dude, besides last year, DeAndre Swift has never been able to stay healthy. That's the other problem. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, he did last year, but I don't know, man. It's just weird to me. Tony Pollard to the Titans. I like this move, honestly.
It's good.
Sucks for Tajay Spears, but this is a good move for them, I think. I mean, he's no Derrick Henry, but he's good.
I think, and he's going to get way less workload than Derrick Henry got. I think Tajay Spears is still going to get, you know, a lot more carries. But, you know, for, again, I'm never not going to be sad seeing Derrick Henry leave the Titans because he was absolutely incredible. But one thing about him, when he was on the field, you pretty much know what's coming, right? You know, it's going to be, you know, he's either pass blocking or he's running. He's not a pass catcher. Just not the most versatile kind of guy, right? If there was one, that's a minor quibble, right? Like, that's a very minor complaint with everything that he's bringing with him every time he's on the field. But I do think this could help out a little bit, keeping defenses on their heels, just because they're not going to be able to – it's not going to be as much of a key indicator when he's – you know, when Pollard's on the field, exactly what type of play they're running. So that's kind of like my silver lining to help cope with the door officially being shut on the Derrick Henry era.
Yeah, we'll speed round the rest of these running backs. Gus Edwards to the Chargers, whatever. Antonio Gibson to the Patriots, whatever.
Whatever.
Devin Singletary to the Giants. I don't hate that move, but, I mean, he definitely ain't replacing Saquon, so.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler, dude. Talk about a dude that completely fell off last year. Signs with the Commanders for, like, $11 million on a two-year deal. Dude, that dude was – I mean, he was arguing about getting paid, like, $20 million a year ago. Man, that dude fell off fast.
Do we think there's any hope for any sort of resurgence in the Commanders uniform, dude? Because I just feel like that's another one of those places where that's like the, you know, the buck stops here as far as the NFL goes. That's where guys go to get that one last contract and prove that there's nothing left in the tank.
Dude, what I saw from him last year was just not good at all. I don't know, man. I think his best years are well behind him at this point. I don't know, man. The Commanders are not good either. It's just you're going from a team that was poorly ran to a team that's poorly ran and is dog shit. I don't know, man. I think that's just a weird move for me, but whatever. The other big news of the day, Brian Burns sent to the Giants for a second and a fifth round pick. And then he was paid $150 million over 5 years. God damn, dude. The Panthers are god awful. What a terrible franchise.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's literally.
He was their team.
He's the best player on your team. Yeah. Why? I mean, I guess if you're really just starting from scratch. But yeah, it seems very. I just don't know why you get rid of that guy. And it seems like they could have got more than that. I feel like he was worth a first round pick.
Bro. In the last 2 years, the Panthers have traded away Christian McCaffrey, Brian Burns, DJ Moore, and the number one, and they trade away the number 10 pick and the number one overall pick to get Bryce Young. Talk about a dumpster fire of a franchise. Like, how would anybody even want to play there outside of just getting paid? Like, I mean, that's the only reason you'd go to play there at this point.
Yeah. We'll talk about them a little bit more in depth later on the episode, but probably the worst situation in the NFL right now.
Yeah. Unless you had anything else for news, that's just kind of what I thought we should run through as far as free agency goes for day one.
You left out the big story, man. Gardner Minshew to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget? And Mac Jones being traded to the Jaguars. How could I forget?
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't get that in your QB scramble, dude. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Derrick Henry goes, man?
I mean, it's got to be down to the Cowboys and Ravens. Like, that's the only two teams that make sense at this point to me.
I saw some murmurs that the Cowboys were passing. They were getting involved in the Derrick Henry sweepstakes. So it may just leave the Ravens, man, which that's going to be a sad sight to see, dude. I can't stand the Ravens. Seeing Derrick Henry in that Ravens jersey is just sad.
I don't know, man. That's the only two teams to me that make any sense. Like, and he's not going to any team that's not a Super Bowl contender. Like, he's not going to do that to himself. So I don't know, man. This has been a weird start to free agency, and considering it really didn't even start today. Today was just the tampering period. I don't know, man. It's just weird. Like, there's been a lot of moves that have been made that have just kind of been head scratchers.
The Twitter machine right now is showing nothing but Henry and Ravens. That's kind of like the only team that even seems to be sniffing around.
I mean, the Cowboys generally don't do anything until about a week after free agency starts. Oh, breaking news. Bengals are releasing Joe Mixon.
I mean, he's a good player, but like I said, I don't think he's going to be tremendously difficult to replace.
And then at the same time, they signed Zach Moss to a 2-year, $8 million contract.
Okay.
Dude, poor Joe Mixon, man. Like, the same minute you're released, they're like, oh, we're signing Zach Moss. See you later, bud.
Yeah, just had his 4,000-yard season, and now he's a free agent, man. I mean, I think he's still got a couple good seasons left in him, dude. He's not super old. I mean, he's got a little bit of miles on him, man, but I think he could definitely come in and help the team out.
Maybe that's where the loser of the Derrick Henry sweepstakes goes, is to Joe Mixon.
All right, you ready to get into our team previews for next season?
Let's do it.
All right, so each week we will be, or each episode, we're going to be doing these every 2 weeks in the off season. We'll take a look at it. A team, discuss, you know, kind of how they fell out last season, and then our overall outlook for them for next season. So we'll start off with the Panthers, worst team in the league last season. So you guys know I'm a big stats head. We'll run down the stats. They're 31st in offensive DVOA, 25th in defensive DVOA, and 31st in overall point differential. So for those that don't know, DVOA, it's a stat that basically accounts for the game situation and the strength of the opponent and takes a look at a team's performance and kind of just gives an overall number of how well that team played. So 31st on offense, 25th in defense, and these guys were 31st in point differential, man. 2-6 in one-score games, so they did have 8 one-score games. That's another thing that's kind of, you know, there are some people like Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady who are just super skilled at winning those one-scored games, but for the most part, one-score games in the NFL are a lot of randomness, right? You can usually point to one or two fluke plays that would have swung it. They were 2-6 in those, if you want to look for a silver lining. But what did you think of the Panthers last year? Because there wasn't a whole lot of good to really reflect on.
Abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. There's really no other way to describe this franchise, this team. I don't know. Like I said earlier, I don't know where they can go from here at this point. I mean, they just gave away the number one pick. Like, that's a gut punch. You're not even sure if you have your franchise quarterback. I think
I don't know if you're sure if you got a serviceable starting quarterback, dude. Franchise, that's – we're a ways away from determining that one, dude.
Dude, I don't know, man.
It was bad last season. It was bad. And, you know, there's some bad teams who were kind of scrappy, like the Cardinals last year. You know, the Cardinals, they sucked, but they were kind of scrappy, right? Like, you watched them, you kind of see little flashes here or there, dude, that kind of – could sink your teeth into. There was just nothing there. It seemed like the vibes were bad. On-field product was bad. Coach got fired halfway through the season in his first year. Going to the quarterback, Bryce Young, do you think this year is make or break, or do you think what do you think the leash is on Bryce Young, man? Because I feel like he's already on his second head coach. If he bombs this year, I think that might be the end of the Bryce Young experiment, and we see the Panthers move on to whatever's next.
I'm not going to lie. I think they have to give him into year three just for the mere fact of what they gave away. I mean, this team's not going anywhere in the next 5 years anyway. Like, dude, you got to give this dude every chance to succeed, I think. And I mean, when you're talking about giving up the number one pick in a deeper draft the following year, I don't know, man. This team is not in a good spot at all. Like, I seriously have no idea what they can do to even fix it at this point. I mean, it's a bad roster all around. Like you said, I just don't think Bryce Young is it, man. He's just too short. Their line was awful last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's already, dude was awesome at Alabama, right? Heisman Trophy winner. So clearly the guy knows how to play football, but I think he's got some physical limitations, you know, with just his size in the NFL. And I don't think that situation is doing him no favors. You know, maybe if you freaking in another life, you swap him and Brock Purdy places. Yeah. He's out there, you know, doing something similar to what Brock Purdy's doing out in San Francisco. But he's, you know, if Brock Purdy's in the absolute like nirvana for a QB to just blossom, Bryce Young is in hell, man. Like, you know, regardless of whatever he's doing, there's absolutely nothing that's helping his situation or his chances for success when he's taking the field each Sunday.
It's time to start taking a really hard look at these Alabama quarterbacks, dude. Like, I mean, we were already skeptical as is just because of how talented those teams were. But, I mean, dude, Bryce, Tua, and Mac Jones in the last 4 years, 5 years. I mean, do you?
I mean, I'm still a Tua non-member, dude. I can't. I'm not gonna lump Tua in with Mac Jones and Bryce Young. He's leagues better than those guys.
He's definitely way better than those guys. But I mean, are you paying Tua $40 million when it comes around to payday time? Like, because I'm not.
I don't want to, but I probably am. I mean, I feel like if he was a free agent right now, that's the contract he'd get if he was on the open market. Man, like Tua's definitely an above average starting quarterback.
Dude, the dog.
Saw Kirk Cousins get, you know, 45 million annual average coming off a torn Achilles at age 35, dude. I feel like Tua could get at least that, dude. And I mean, yeah, Tua's had some stinkers, dude, and some big moments for sure. But I still think what he's put on the field so far has been way better than Mac Jones and Bryce Young.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's not a fact. Like, he definitely has. I don't know, man. It's just everything is adding up to, like, don't draft a Bama quarterback, you know? It's just...
Yeah, take a close look at him, dude. And for the long time, you know, Tua was really the exception, dude. For the most part, Alabama wasn't really going out and getting highly sought-after recruits at quarterback. You know, they were loading up everywhere else, and Nick Saban was, for the longest, kind of had game managers at the quarterback position.
Yeah, but, yeah, all back to Bryce Young. I definitely don't think he's the guy, but I think you're going to have to give him every benefit of the doubt and as much time as he needs to
prove. Might as well.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do? Like,
yeah, that's got to be like the number one objective for this season coming up, man. Cause clearly you're probably not competing for even a wild card spot. So just make this whole purpose of the season, finding out what we have in Bryce Young. New head coach, Dave Canales. He was offense coordinator from the Bucks. That's not really getting my juices flowing, man. That's just kind of like a whatever coaching hire. How about you?
I thought he was the defensive coordinator from the Bucks. Was he really the offensive coordinator?
Let me fire up the Google machine in my research I was looking
at
today.
I could 100% be wrong on that because, I mean, their head coach is obviously a defensive head coach, so I could be 100%.
Yeah, he was the Bucks offensive coordinator.
For one season, so he took over for Leftwich. Jesus Christ.
Did have a hell of a year. The Bucks offense was pretty freaking, you know, overachieved big time, but still, like I said, this isn't, you know, Bill Walsh in 1985 coming into town to save Bryce Young's career, man. So
yeah, my man is walking into a situation where there's no Mike Evans, there's no Chris Godwin. Like, we'll see how much of a genius he is when he's throwing to Adam Thielen as his number one receiver. I just...
Bro, what is up with you slandering all these good players, dude? Adam Thielen can still ball. If there was a bright spot last year for the Panthers outside of Brian Burns, it was probably Adam Thielen.
Bro, there's no way you're going to convince me that a winning football team at this point in 2024 should have Adam Thielen as their number one receiver.
I mean, I'm not saying that, but I don't know why Adam Thielen's catching strays in this conversation right now.
I'm not saying Adam Thielen's bad. I'm just saying, dude, you're going from Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to Adam Thielen.
I feel you, man. Just, you know, with so much that whole Carolina organization to launch freaking grenades at, I just don't know why poor Adam Thielen was the one that, you know, the J-man singled out tonight, dude. That's all I was saying. So,
anyways, that whole franchise is a disaster from the owner down. So,
I think it starts with the owner, dude. I really think that's the issue, man. Like, obviously, dude's a freaking bajillionaire, so good for him. He can do what he wants. But, you know, we've heard he's a nightmare to work with. Just look at all the coaches he's run through. Same thing with the soccer club he's running there in Charlotte. I think this dude is just kind of cast like a negative vibe across the whole franchise, man, is what it feels like. You know, you saw the same thing for the longest with the Commanders with Dan Snyder there, man. Like, it's just, if you got a bad owner, man, that can just really kind of just put a black cloud over everything.
You know what I really think this all traces back to? They shunned Cam out of town and didn't give him his proper send-off, shunned him out of town, and then brought him back a year later to try to get him to play quarterback. They had a one-game boost from Cam coming back because the crowd was juiced, and then it just all fell off from there. I don't know, man. That franchise is in dire straits.
It's like, all right, so let's put a bow on the Panthers talk with just, you know, discussing our overall outlook for them next season. I'll go first, man. To be honest, I see them being in basically this exact same spot in the standings next year. I think they're going to be right there at the bottom, scrapping it out for, you know, the number one or number two pick in the draft. I think best case scenario, you know, you got some magic going with between Bryce Young, the new coach, second year progression, and they win a few more games. Maybe they, you know, maybe they're around 6-7 wins, but you see some serious bright spots from Bryce Young, enough to give you some hope for the future. That's kind of my best case scenario for the Panthers, but I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to get anything close to that best case scenario.
Yeah. Ceiling is 4 wins to me. I don't think they're good enough to even win that many, but I mean, get some breaks to go your way and stuff, but yeah, I think they're in the exact same spot, just like you said, as this year. Well, at least they'll have the number one pick this go around, so that'll help. But yeah, not going to be a fun season for Panthers fans.
All right, let's move up the East Coast to Boston and discuss the New England Patriots. So this one's a little bit more interesting. You know, finished similarly to them in the standings, but they 29th in offensive DVOA. They were 9th overall in defense, though, for the season. 9th in defensive DVOA. However, they still had enough blowout losses that they were 29th in point differential. They went 4-8 in one score game. So they had 12 one score games on the season, went 4-8 on them. We really don't know what they're doing at the QB position, if they're going to draft somebody. As of now, it looks like maybe Bailey Zappe might actually go into the season as the starter. Gerard Mayo taking over for the legend Bill Belichick, man. What do you think of the, you know, the Patriots last season? It's really kind of, it was basically the tail end of the Belichick era. Seemed like the, you know, maybe the game really had passed him by the time we got to that last season. You know, if you had to put a summary on the Patriots from last year, what would you say?
I mean, the one thing you can always give him, though, is his defense, just as it always was good again last year. No matter how bad that team was, he always put together a good defensive scheme and a defensive plan. Their offense was just the thing that held them back. Couldn't decide on who was going to be the starting quarterback, Mac or Bailey. And, dude, it carried into all season. I mean, they never could get any momentum going. Sad way for Bill Belichick to go out, but kind of is what it is, you know. I do think they're going to draft a quarterback, considering they're in the top three. I think they end up with either Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I know you love Bailey Zappe, dude, but there is no way on God's green earth you're going to convince me that a franchise is going to be successful starting Bailey Zappe. Like,
no, I think Bailey Zappe's future is, you know, kind of similar to what we talked about some guys earlier. I think he's an awesome backup quarterback, right? Because, dude, you know, he can ball and he plays aggressive when he is in there, man. So I think if, you know, he'd be an awesome option as a backup, somebody that you come in that could, you know, keep your head above water and potentially make some big plays for you. But yeah, I agree. I don't think at this point, even the biggest Bailey Zappe fans would say that he has a future as a true franchise quarterback in this league.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with being a backup quarterback. I mean, if this year,
best gig in sports, I'd say.
Yeah. And if this year proved anything, dude, the backup quarterbacks are one of the most important spots in the NFL right now. Like,
yeah,
QB can go down any week. And, I mean, the Browns and the Colts are perfect examples. Like, both of them needed a backup quarterback in the worst way, and both carried him to really successful seasons. So, I don't know, man.
And Zappe showed he can be productive. He's had some really nice games, man. He's had enough of them to where it's not just a fluke, man. Like, he can definitely come in and mix, you know, generate a little bit of offense if needed in a pinch.
Yeah, I do feel bad for Gerard Mayo. Like, I mean, outside of winning a Super Bowl in your first 5 years as head coach, like, this is a no-win situation. Like,
it's tough, man. We talked about this last season. I wouldn't want to be the guy following him. I'd want to be the guy following the guy that follows him, you know, because it's just, you're just not going to fill those shoes. Even as bad as, you know, these last 4 seasons have been, it's still just an unprecedented run of success that Belichick had there. So, yeah, tough shoes to fill. I mean, the good thing is it seems like everything we hear from the franchise, they've closed the book on the Belichick era, and they're looking at this as a whole new thing. So I don't think they're looking for him in New England to be Bill Belichick part two, but you still got a ton of pressure when that's the guy that you're following up.
100%.
So what do you think is their biggest thing they need to address this offseason? You know, we talked about the Panthers. The biggest thing is just finding out, you know, what they actually have in Bryce Young. Are we sticking with the quarterback position? Is the replacing Tom Brady still the number one priority for the Patriots?
100%. I mean, I think trading away Mac Jones tells you all you need to know. Like, this franchise knows they need a quarterback, and they know they don't have the right one in-house. So I think they're going to draft a quarterback. They need to get some more playmakers too. That having Juju as your number one option. Again, no hate against Juju. He's a good player, but he can't be your number one option.
No. So yeah, definitely not at this point in his career.
Offense. That's what they need to focus on. Offense. They're still bringing back a good defensive team. They still got Judon. Christian Gonzalez was fantastic until he got hurt. Like, their defense is still going to ball, and having Jerod Mayo as your coach is going to – I think that'll carry over the tradition of Belichick's good defense, but they got to get something going on offense.
Sounds like he's really, really popular with the players there. I think it's going to be a different kind of energy from Belichick. I think that could help. You know, taking a look at their outlook for next season, man, I think they got a shot to compete in the AFC East, whether they draft, you know, a rookie quarterback and they really hit on him, or if they just can somehow get peak Bailey Zappe, as funny as that sounds, for a season. I think they could be a fringe contender in the division, man, and sniff a wild card spot. The Jets, we don't know what they're going to be with Aaron Rodgers. The Dolphins, you know they're going to cave when it comes to the last month of the season, and we don't know what the Bills are. So I think, you know, the Patriots could have a little bit of a bounce back season this year, man. I think that's in the cards for them if everything breaks right.
I think they could have a decent season. I don't think they're competing for anything yet. I think their defense will still be good, but I just don't think they're going to get enough out of their offense still, and that's going to hold them back. I think the ceiling for this team is probably 7 wins. It's not a good team, man. They're not as bad as the Panthers, but this still is not a good team. Like, having no playmakers is a huge thing for an NFL team. And I mean, they still have none. Like, I mean, dude, what's your number one playmaker? Ramondre Stevenson? Is that moving the needle for you? Like, I just,
no, he had like one good game 3 years ago against the Bills.
Yeah. I don't see it, man. I think they're a couple years away. I think drafting a quarterback now would be the best thing, though. That way he can grow with Jerod Mayo and just next couple years figure things out. I mean, the Jets got, what, 2 years of Rodgers, maybe, if he can even make it through a quarter. The Bills are an absolute disaster. The Dolphins lost half their team in free agency. Like, I mean, that division's not going to be great for the next 5 years. Like, there's a cause for hope there if you're a Patriots fan, because I think that division's going to be garbage in like 3 years. So,
yeah, AFC East is in a weird spot. You know, it seemed like for years the Patriots just dominated. You could just pencil them in every year as the champ, and now with Brady gone, you know, you thought the Bills were going to just step up and put the division in a chokehold, but they really haven't to the level that you thought they would. Man, the Bills have seem like they've almost been fighting against themselves the last couple seasons. So I agree. Weird spot for that division. We do got a ton of listener mail to get into. You ready to start answering some questions?
Let's do it.
All right. So we'll start off with Sam Rosenthal. He says, when does the salary cap go away? The cutting of players and restructuring often is just excessive. What do you think, man? Are you a proponent of getting rid of the salary cap, or do you think that's the foundation of the NFL?
Absolutely. They cannot get rid of the salary cap because it literally would ruin the NFL.
The hard cap is what makes the NFL so much better than all the other sports. It is annoying when you see teams having to get rid of some, you know, otherwise productive players, but you got to have it, man. It's what's made the NFL so great the last 30 years.
Jerry Jones would literally pay $10 billion to get every good player in the NFL on his team. Like, it would be the most miserable watch of all time.
Yeah. One thing, you know, this isn't necessarily tied to the salary cap thing. One thing that I've always thought, dude, that I don't know, it seems like it would make so much more sense, man, and would help to avoid some of these restructurings. If instead of players signing for a dollar amount, if they just signed for a percentage of the salary cap, I feel like that would help make everything would make so much more sense if that's the way they did it, right? So that way, because the biggest issue is guys sign these deals, right? Like guys sign a long-term deal. 2 years into the deal, they're underpaid, right? Because the, you know, between inflation and the product making more and more money every year, the salary cap went up. If you're a top wide receiver, you know, a top wide receiver 20 years ago was signing a deal that's making them like $8 million. Nowadays, you know, it's 25, 26 mil, if not more. And I just think if you did it by a percentage of the salary cap, that number would naturally fluctuate. I know the players, the pushback to that is the players union says, well, what if the owner started lowering the salary cap? It would lower players' pay. But I mean, dude, when is the last time the salary cap dropped? I think the salary cap has dropped one time the entire time I've been watching the NFL.
Yeah, I could see that working. I think this is what's kind of screwing with the NFL now, and everybody talks about it all the time as far as the salary cap's concerned. How does a team get away with just like converting in the middle of their contract? Like Josh Allen today converted $16 million into a signing bonus 3 years into his contract. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like there needs
all to be, funny money.
They need to be more transparent on how that even works. Like, dude, if you sign someone to a contract, like I feel like doing this, I don't know, man. It seems so weird to me. And I feel like that's why a lot of the bad teams stay bad, because teams get to do stuff like, I mean, the Saints were the kings of doing it. Like,
yeah,
$40 million of Drew Brees' money was just like paid out of pocket. I don't know, man. It's just weird to me.
If you remember back, man, for the fans that have been watching NFL longer, think about like back in the early 2000s, how much a bigger deal the salary cap seemed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you used to live and die by how much salary cap room your team had. Nowadays, it feels like it's not, I mean, it's still a thing, but it's not nearly as big a deal as it used to be. Because like you said, teams have gotten so creative and so complex with the way they structure these deals that it feels like no team's ever truly in like salary cap hell like you used to hear about back in the day. Like it used to be back in the day, teams would literally just go into kind of a purgatory for, you know, a season or two or three because their salary cap had gotten so bad. And that's how long it took to kind of bounce back from that. It's not really like that anymore.
I personally like that model better, honestly, because I feel like if you're bad with your cap and you sign players to bad contracts, I feel like you should be punished. And that was the punishment.
I felt like it was easier to follow too. Also, like you would kind of know like, okay, hey, like these couple teams, like they're in a tough spot, you know, because their salary cap's in real bad shape. Nowadays, dude, like it's just not as big a part as it used to be. That used to be a lot more kind of active part of following the game. All right. Chad Smith, our buddy from Turnbuckle Tavern, says, if you're in the Cowboys front office, what free agent running back are you targeting to sign? Derrick Henry or another discounted back?
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry's about the only one left now at this point. Again, dude, the Cowboys always seem like they have like the worst plan when they hit free agency. It's like they don't start until a week after everybody else does. I've never understood their.
They have drafted pretty well though, man, yeah, over the last decade or so. So maybe they just had a change of philosophy, because back in the day, Cowboys would be the team, you know, banging down doors right at midnight, right when free agency opens, trying to win free agency every year. Yeah, so I think if you got a good good track record in the draft, I think that helps you kind of ease into free agency a little bit more.
Yeah.
Chad also says, give us a way too early prediction of a team that's viewed as a favorite next season, but will have a shocking down year. I think the Niners are due, man. They've had such a good run, making it excuse me, into the, you know, the Final Four, four times out of the last 5 years, including two Super Bowl runs. Outside the quarterback position, for the most part, they've been really, really healthy, and they've just had, you know, just things tend to break the Niners' way. Super Bowl hangover is always a very real thing, and I think that they could be facing that, man. You know, Brock Purdy, I'm a believer, but it's not totally outside the realm of possibility that stagecoach turns back into a pumpkin at some point this season. And, you know, we start to see maybe why he was the last pick in the draft. So I'll say Niners, man. That's my team most ripe for just a gigantic letdown this year.
I think it's the Bills, man. I really think the Bills are going to regress a lot next season. And I know this isn't like the hottest take ever, because they just lost half their defense we talked about. But, dude, I think bringing McDermott back is a mistake. I really do. I think that team has done nothing but fail in big moments under him.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a direct reflection of him. I think Josh Allen's turnovers go up next year because he's going to force it even more. I just don't think I think the Jets are probably going to come up next year. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be as good either. I think the Jets end up winning that division, assuming Rodgers stays healthy. I see the Bills winning like, I don't know, 8-9 games. I don't think they're going to be very good.
Sean McDermott definitely has the vibes of, you know, like Tony Dungy with the Bucks, or more recently John Fox with the Broncos, where by any measure you've been successful as the head coach of that team, but sometimes you need another guy to come in to you know, light a spark and get him over the hump. You saw Gruden do it with the Bucks and take them to a Super Bowl in his first year, and then Gary Kubiak did it with the Broncos there in Peyton Manning's last season.
Yep.
Braden Berggren says, why does Bryce Young suck so bad? We already discussed that. He also says, go Titans. Hell yeah, man. Go Titans. Mike Rivera, he just throws up the Kirk Cousins. Jordan, he wants to know if you like that.
Like that? Kirko Chains, baby.
Sam Rosenthal with another one. What sports do you watch during non-football? I keep tabs on everything. The only thing I really like actively watch is NBA playoffs, man. Once the playoffs get going in the NBA, I'll kind of lock in on that. I really don't watch a lot. You know, I think Jordan would probably easier tell us what sports he doesn't watch.
Yeah, so once NFL...
What's some of your favorites, man? What's some of your favorites that you look forward to get you through the slow months between football?
College basketball, NBA. I just took a trip for college basketball, actually, to New York. Went to the Garden to watch Creighton play. Creighton's my hometown team, so I follow them pretty close. I love college baseball because College World Series comes to Omaha every year in June. Obviously, like the Cubs for MLB, go to quite a few games every year, so... Yeah, Seth is right. It's probably easier for me to discuss what I don't watch. And then obviously I love NHL playoffs too. So
Jordan loves sports more than anyone I know. It's like literally it could be any sports story that comes up that I'm not keeping close tabs on. I can just hit him up and he can give me like a debrief on it, man. So yeah, definitely the most knowledgeable sports fan in my life. Zach Hertzler says, favorite free agent signing today. Is it Kirk Cochains, man? Is he your favorite of the day, Jordan? I was really interested. I didn't ask you point blank while we were texting about today because I really want to save for the air to hear how you felt. So just once and for all, man, let it fly, dude. You don't got to hold back. What's your excitement level, Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons?
I mean, dude, considering I just sat through 2 years of Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder, I would say my excitement level is about a 9.5. Now, downtrodden Jordan is at a 5 because Kirk Cousins is coming off a Achilles. So that part of Jordan is still there, but there's definitely some excitement level. I do think that was probably the best free agency signing of the day, just for the mere fact that everyone has said it for the last 2 years. The Falcons were a quarterback away from being at least a decent team, if not a contender. So we'll see, man. We'll see if that's truly what it was.
Let me set the scene. We're halfway through the second quarter in week one. Kirk Cousins goes down after re-injuring his Achilles. What are you doing as Desmond Ridder begins warming up on the sidelines and jogging onto the field?
Let's just move on. I'd rather not think about what I would do in that scenario, Seth. Thanks, though.
John Swallow says, will the NFC South be more interesting now, minus the Saints and Panthers? I feel like it's going to kind of be similar to what it was last year, man. There's a chance if Kirk hits like we think he could hit, the Falcons could run away with it. Otherwise, I see this still being like, you know, that kind of triangle of mediocrity we had last year between the Saints, between the Saints, Bucks, and Falcons, where, you know, it comes down to the last couple weeks, man. I don't think it's going to be that much more interesting.
You know what the wild thing is like for the first time since 2004, 2005, when the Saints got Drew Brees, this is the most down I've ever seen Saints fans. Like it's like kicking a dog. Like that's just laying on the side of the road. Like that's what Saints fans are right now. They're like, another year, Carr is our quarterback. It sounds like Winston's gone. He's going somewhere else. You don't have that in the back of your mind when Carr goes down. If we get to watch Jameis Winston fling it around the yard, like watching Saints fans' misery has really given me life lately.
Dude, you want to win? Put Jameis in, man.
Hey,
like,
did you see where the rumor is he's going to sign?
Uh-uh.
The Browns.
Bro, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I hate that, dude. You're like the villain of the NFL, like completely unlikable, low-key, actually high-key kind of a bitch. And then you got the most charismatic, most likable, like the backup quarterback everybody loves is behind you. Like, hell no, dude. Like, I'd rather have Flacco's old ass behind me than Jameis, dude.
Yeah, that is not good for old rapist Watson.
I love Jameis, dude. I'm here for I'm here for like the Jameis revival, dude. When he finally gets a shot, man. Like, he's just, he's infectious, man. You can't help but love the guy, dude.
Gonna eat a W.
John Swall also said, what new coach will be the best hire? I think it's got to be Harbaugh in a landslide, man. Like, dude's been successful everywhere he's been. They got the quarterback in theory. We'll see. You know, one way, I think this is going to be a big year for Justin Herbert, man, just because all the hype has been there. You know, the numbers have been there, dude, but kind of sometimes it seems like it's, you know, all sizzle, no steak with him because he's flopped in some big moments also. But I think Harbaugh would definitely end up being the best hire from this crop.
Yeah, it's a runaway too.
And then Mike Rivera had not a question, but a statement. He just said, as a Miami Dolphins fan, I hate every move today.
Yeah, they are in dire straits, man.
All right, so that's a wrap for our first off-season episode of The Goal Line. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the... One second, I got our schedule here. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Let's take a look at the Cardinals and the Commanders next time. You know, Jordan, thanks for coming back, man. It was awesome to get back and talk some football after a month off. Hit us with some closing thoughts, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, man, we got March Madness for... coming up this weekend. We got conference tournament starting. As always, enjoy the madness, and we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.